Hey, everybody. Welcome to Top Secret News. This is Christina George, and this is formerly Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond. So if some of you are out there listening, wondering why the new name, or you haven't been around for a while, we recently changed the name. So, again, we're still talking about all the great same topics, same discussions, just a new name. So I hope you guys will like it. We
same,
are going to be...
Same host and same co-host, too. Imagine that.
Imagine that. Who would have thought, right? Like, you would
right.
think if we have to get a new name that we should change the host, too. But, I mean, I've changed so many names in my shows over the years that I think that, and have so many shows that I figured that it's just best to change it and stick with what we've got, what works.
It works. It works, for sure. And I'll try not to shapeshift on you guys, okay? So, I'm good.
Please. Yeah, go with it. You know, I don't have Leah as the guest tonight. We have Lori. Or, you know, because I don't want you, like, breaking into the reptilian language.
Oh, come on.
Well, because then I don't have anybody here to translate.
Oh, that's true. That's...
Well, I don't know. Maybe Lori knows reptilian now. I'm going to walk after, so. All right, everybody. Well, tonight we've got a great show for you. So many people have been commenting, contacting us, wanting us to do a show on the Mandela Effect, as well as regression and abduction. And so I thought, we can do that. I've got a perfect guest. And happens to be one of Renee and I's personal friends, a frequent guest here on actually both the shows. And it's Lori MacDonald. And Lori MacDonald is a clinical hypnotherapist and abduction researcher and is one of the 27 regression therapists that's actually listed on the MUFON Mental Health Referral List for abduction regression. She's also a consultant to the Research Committee FREE, which is the Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. That's a mouthful right there. And she's on the board of directors for the organization OPUS. And she is the founder of Sacramento Alien Abduction and Contactee Support Group here in our local area, which is actually one of California's largest UFO and abduction groups. She's also been a facilitator of a number of experiencer events and is a lifelong experiencer herself. And she runs her own company, which is True You Hypnotherapy, and she's been a winner of the Sacramento's Best of 3 years running with promoted mind-body integration through one-on-one sessions, empowerment workshops, experiencer group events, and spiritual retreats. And she's just about at the completion stage of actually her first book. She's been working on it for a while. It's entitled The Alien Interference. So... we are welcome and glad to have her tonight coming to talk to us about all these different topics tonight. So, Lori, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
How are you doing? Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been working. I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I noticed, I mean, it's always, I love to see when other people are so busy. I see you're doing, you know, events and speaking engagements all over the place. You're on all these different boards and just doing so much for the abductee and contactee community. So it's amazing to see you doing so well. Again, love to, having you back. We've had you on the show to talk about, you know, all different kinds of things, regression and stuff like that. But I thought, again, tonight would be a great time to have you back to talk about the different topics that I talked about, the Mandela Effect, regression, which is your specialty, as well as, you know, abductees and some of the changes maybe you're seeing and that we're getting in report. So, again, thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks. I'm really glad to be here. The Mandela Effect is definitely an intriguing and interesting topic. At first, you know, I didn't take it that seriously, I'll be honest with you guys, but it wasn't really until I started to see people were actually traumatized, I mean, literally freaking out about some of these Mandela effects, and they were seriously stressed, really feeling major stress. And I'll tell you what, you don't have that type of physical or physiological reaction to misremembering. You know, one of the ways that they debunk the Mandela effect is they say, oh, well, just a whole bunch of you are misremembering. But the truth is, that's not how memory works at all. You don't misremember en masse. You misremember individually based on your own perspective and your own certain circumstances. It's not done in groups. They don't have identical memories. And if by chance they were found out to have a mis-memory, they don't have a meltdown. You know, these
right.
changes are affecting people. You know, they're truly affected. You know, you don't have a meltdown if you misremembered the name of your favorite ice cream as a child or something.
Right.
But the interesting thing about this is
these are not
mistakes. These are not, these Mandela effects are not people misremembering. I've been spending quite a lot of time on the dark net, the deep net. I've got a Nord VPN number, and I have been into the United States Patent Office data bank, their full text and image research database, and have been able to pull up original trademark patent numbers and registration for products that we see have changed. Now, I know people go, well, they rebranded or they changed. But if you think it's a rebranding, even if people do your homework, check logopedia.com. That's a website that will show you the history of logos so that you can quickly and easily differentiate between a logo change or a rebranding and an actual Mandela effect. So it's so interesting to see that there's residual evidence of two existing timelines. But I don't think that it's a stretch to believe that there are parallel universes. Certainly, quantum physics and other math, actually, entanglement physics too, would imply that there are multiple dimensions. So that's not so hard to wrap your mind around. What's hard is to see a convergence of the timelines, two of them at the same time. But I think it's a good thing. I think this Mandela effect actually can be quite positive. I think that people should look at it really as a wake-up call, something to push what they believe is real or something to push what they believe they are capable of. You know, in our community of ufology and spiritualism and ascension, we hear a lot about multidimensionality, existing on multiple dimensions. Well, I'll tell you, nothing says multiple dimension existence more than the Mandela effect. So if a person can really see that they have a consciousness that can shift from one dimension to another, that's truly being multidimensional. So, yeah, an amazing topic.
You know, I always found that very interesting, too, because there are times when it seems like, it's kind of like a burp sometimes in the timeline that, you know, you're familiar with the timeline from, you know, what you lived in that certain period, a certain memory that you have of an event or something, but then this event suddenly changes, and then you find yourself remembering both events happening at the same time. One did happen, one didn't happen. That kind
well,
of
I think both happened.
They didn't both happen.
No, they did both happen, just in a different timeline. So those two timelines both exist, both happening simultaneously. Our consciousness, or our alpha consciousness, has changed dominant perspectives as to where they're viewing.
And that's interesting, too, because, you know, having to remember both timelines at the same time, because I found myself doing that, too, so I could actually see, you know, different timelines exactly at the same time.
Yeah, it's quite the phenomena. But when we can, you know, say go into the patent office data bank and pull up a copyright and a trademark for the company Procter Gamble for the product, say, Febreze, and see the original spelling of S-E-B-R-E-E-Z-E, and then see the product that's on the shelves having only one E, which actually spells for Brez. They say they never changed, but here we have the United States patent saying it's Febreze, explaining what it's for, when it was introduced, all of the different chemicals and subchemical components of this air freshener, all of them owned by Procter & Gamble, invented by different people. You know, it's very lengthy, these documents for patents. But they exist, so explain that. So what it looks like, I guess it's maybe a blurb like you say, I'm kind of leaning more towards that CERN, who decided to create this Hadron Collider to accelerate particles. Their intent was to simulate what the universe would look like after the Big Bang Theory. And when they had announced this, you know, the people living around the area protested. They said that this is a very dangerous experiment, and they don't think that it should be done. It went to court. Of course, the people with the money won, which was CERN. So they went forward with these experiments. So perhaps they did create a tear in the fabric of reality, and that there is a bit of a convergence, or our consciousness is shifting into seeing the alternate reality. That's a theory. Now, we can hypothesize, too, that the veil between the dimensions is thinning.
That's what I would say. That,
mm-hmm. That the veil between the dimensions is quite possibly thinning, or simultaneously, our frequency is being increased, which actually just dissipates the veil.
Gotcha. That's interesting. You know, I mean, because I even seen reports of that. Matter of fact, you've also posted about the that NASA report about two of the Milky Way's spiral arms go missing. So could that be a part of this whole thing too?
Possibly. You know, I've always loved the sky.
Never trust anything from NASA.
Yeah,
true.
I've always been a star watcher, always been into astronomy, I've always owned a telescope. Mm-hmm. I've always learned that we were in the Sagittarius arm of the Milky Way, which would be on the outside rim of the Milky Way. But now, astrophysicists tell us today that we are actually in the Orion spur, or the Orion arm. Wow. Are we there? Yeah. Were we in the Sagittarius arm? Absolutely we were. It's really interesting, too, because we can see some of the country's leading physicists on YouTube talking about us being in the Sagittarius arm, say, back in the 90s. But here we are in this new millennium in practically a new place in space. But, see, it really sort of pushes your reality to think that there are these parallel universes. My 4-year-old granddaughter came to me the other day and said, I have a secret. I said, you do? She said, yeah, can I tell you my secret? And I said, tell me. She said, well, there's two worlds. There's two of you. There's two of me. There's two papas. There's two mommies. There's two of everything. She said, did you know that? I said, yeah. I knew that. Because she told it to me as if it were a secret, something that she had just realized. So I don't know if children are more perceptive to seeing their doppelganger or their double. But for her to say that, I think that's very interesting. And maybe she is experiencing the Mandela effect. And I'm telling you, she's 4.
Right. Well, she is your granddaughter.
Well, yes,
there's that.
You know, and the daughter of your daughter. So it's not like real surprising that, I mean, it's like my grandkids. You know, it's like even my grandson at only 2.5, like he's already seeing things. He's already pointing them out. I already know what's there. You know, it's very interesting how intuitive, well, even more intuitive children are now than they were, say, 20, 30 years ago, or even when I was growing up. So, and then having a lineage, you know, the grandmother and mother that, you know, have had experiences and things happen around them. I mean, I would expect. I mean, she's something else anyway. She always comes up with some very interesting things, so it doesn't surprise me.
Right. You know, the truth is, she was born in a doorway. Like, my daughter literally grabbed the door frame, fell to her knees, and gave birth. So I heard that there was an old wives' tale that people who were born in a doorway can see between the worlds.
Hey, you never know. Never know.
Just makes it a little more spooky.
Well, definitely interesting. I mean, but again, it's everything is shifting and everything is changing. Like, for so long I've been kind of like waiting for this time to come, and although it's coming very slowly, it's still coming. And when I see all the children and all the younger kids that are now so open to all of this, they are so awake. They're not, you know, they don't listen to just whatever they see on mainstream media or whatever. They're really into, like, researching things themselves and having their own thoughts about things and, you know, having their own opinions. And it's, like, I look at, like, that's our next generation. And so, you know, if we can keep this up, we might be on a good roll.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, certainly the younger generations are more open-minded. I ran into a whole group of about 15-year-olds. I think there was about 7 or 8 of them. And I was at a garage sale last fall here in East Sacramento. I was taking the dog for a walk, and one of the neighbors was having a garage sale. So I stopped by to check out their books. I was looking to find some Berenstain Bear books. as opposed to the Berenstain books. And, you know, I was able to find a Sega Genesis video game from back in the 80s that actually says Berenstain. Now, I think this is very interesting. Yeah, some of the changes, though, they don't really make sense to a lot of people. We see with the Kennedy assassination, Kennedy was still assassinated. The difference is whether there are 4 or 6 people in the car. Now, in my memory, there were 4 people. So how much of our history has changed? Not that much. Like, the main aspect of this historical event was the assassination of the president. And that still happened. It's just sort of the surrounding or supporting circumstances that seem to be changing. Now, maybe this is just phase one. You know, I suspect that it is. I suspect that phase two will come in a blanket as it sort of wraps the planet and shifts the perception of people into viewing reality from a larger perspective. And ultimately, this is another way for the awakening process or the ascension process to start. You always have to start with the questioning of your reality. And when you begin to question that, well, you're well on your way to beginning to figure things out. So you'll have to start with the questions. And for some people, they have to be woken up abruptly. They have to really be shaken, and the Mandela effect is shaking certain people. I see some online arguing back and forth about specific details, and people, I'm just like, no, both are true. And that's the thing, that to let go of right or wrong and just sort of begin to look at, well, perhaps both existed, and we're just viewing one of the realities now, and some of us, about 25% of the people, have these residual memories of the alternate reality. And it's not until there's that one memory of your own personal Mandela effect, that you really begin to get excited. There was a lady in the boutique around the corner from where I live, and she just thought, oh, it was the craziest thing she'd ever heard of, and people are just forgetting. And she named all the top, you know, things that people say when they first hear about it. And I didn't really want to be put in the position of having to argue or defend it. So when I realized, you know, it took a couple of minutes of talking to her and then asking like this, I asked her, have you watched the movie Star Wars? And she said, yes. I said, do you own the movie? And she said, yes. I said, well, then you play your DVD. And when it gets to the part in the movie where he says, Luke, I am your father, if the Mandela effect is true, your own personal DVD should have changed, and it'll say, no, I am your father. I said, so tomorrow, watch it tonight. Tomorrow, I'll stop by the boutique. So I was walking up the street, and I could see her neck craning out the window. She saw me coming. She's very excited. I go into her shop, and she's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe it said that. She said, I cannot believe that the movie in my possession has changed. And that's it right there. You know, the person has to really experience their own one. You know, the one that really got me, where I got to tell you the truth, it was the Scarecrow having a gun in The Wizard of Oz. I mean, the Scarecrow packing heat, really? Who would give the brainless guy a gun?
Right.
Didn't make sense. This was never, ever in my recollection, and there's just no way he had a gun. And not only, you know, in the old VHS, which I've ordered online, not only does the Scarecrow have a gun, the Tin Man has a 30-inch pipe wedge, as well as his axe.
Wow.
I mean, this is the original movie, not tampered with, not changed. I mean, listen, when I grew up in Canada, The Wizard of Oz came on TV once a year. I mean, we only had back then like 3 TV stations, and one of them was in French. So when the Mandela effect, so when The Wizard of Oz would come on, it was like a national event. Every family would gather around, watch The Wizard of Oz. Popcorn would be popped. Hot chocolate would be made. This was a big deal, having this movie, right? So I watched it every year of my life. And I've owned the VHS, the DVD. And so when Scarecrow comes out with the Cowardly Lion and the Tin Man, and they're about to enter the forest, and the sign says, I'd turn back if I were you. He turns around and pulls out some heat, man. He's got like a .38 in his hand. And I absolutely was dumbfounded, because I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. So that was my own personal Mandela effect that really got me researching, because, listen, a person can misremember certain things. Now, not Oscar Mayer. I mean, an Oscar Mayer, because we have to look at the spelling here, right?
Right.
Mayer, like John Mayer, is M-A-Y-E-R. So it would have been Oscar Mayer, but it's not. So those sort of things are very interesting. One of the other big residual ones, and I don't know how you two feel about this, but the fast food chain McDonald's. A lot of people said back in the day it was McDonald's. And I'm going to put this to you. Why on earth do they have a Big Mac on the menu and not a Big Mick if it was never McDonald's?
It's true.
Right. Good point.
So how do we account for these little idiosyncrasies? All we can say is parallel universes, alternate timelines. And so how an alternate timeline might work, we have to look into the sort of subatomic world and the stew of quantum possibilities. So for me, I would say that in my youth, there was a major decision to be made in my life. That decision was for me to either go to school and become a psychiatrist. I was going to get a doctorate, but I became pregnant in a university. And so I decided to have my child. And so right there, those pivotal moments in your life, I think that on an alternate reality, I might not have had kids. So it's those big decisions that play out in the alternate realities. I think that that's sort of the way it goes. Maybe in one reality, Christina, you're happily married, you know, with 8 or 10 kids, or who knows, a TV talk show, or the same as you, Renee. We don't know. If Renee may be one of your big fantasies or desires in life. Say you wanted to be a rock star. Maybe in a parallel universe that's played out. And so I think that in the realm of possibilities, the parallel universe allows our consciousness to explore and experience all that it is that we desire.
Interesting. And it reminds me of like the holodeck on Star Trek, where like people could go and program to wherever they would like to like be and the environment they wanted to have, and it was like a virtual reality room, and that's like what it reminds me of. Like in all these different realities, it's going to be something different that you chose, a different outcomes, but again,
different outcomes. That's exactly what it is. It's different outcomes, and the parallel universes are only one frequency off of this universe. So one channel dial over on an AM or FM bandwidth radio. I mean, it's very easy for us to be vibrating right next to these other parallel universes. So sure, we can slip in and out. In fact, there are some scientists that say we've always experienced a flux of consciousness between the timelines. The difference is we didn't have any real recorded history that was available to the masses to make note of it. Yeah. I mean, everybody read or write, or obviously, you know, in this day and age, it was a few years back, there was a big push for everybody in North America, practically, to have some flat screen TV.
Right.
See, because the radiation and the waves that go through these, some people refer to it as black mirror magic, any monitor, cell phone, TV, tablets, are emitting specific waves or can be a conductor of particular frequencies to manipulate the mind and the memory. So just saying, for the people who aren't totally sold on the fact that parallel universes and alternate realities exist, another possibility for the Mandela effect is psychotronics, some type of psyops, a psychological operation performed by a government agency. And we do know that since, this is really interesting actually, in 1994, there was a huge testing of radio wave, microwave, sonar, and psychotronic energy tested on the American population. And they were sending voice-to-skull messages right into people's brains, trying to manage their moods, their behavior, and manipulate them, basically straight up mind control. So we have the technology to create certain things like the Mandela effect, or to suppress memories. And sadly, since we all are familiar with the abduction phenomena, there can be planted memories and screen memories. And so it becomes difficult. And I've always said, a man who wears two watches never really knows for sure what time it is. So when we have different hypotheses and theories, it can become confusing when we don't really know for sure what's true. But the truth of the matter is that we have to just look at it and see its effects on our consciousness, whether it's true or not true. It's affecting people. And it's not those effects that we really need to focus on.
You know, even when we're like in a dream state, that we can actually tap into these other type of universes. That because you're at that kind of that state that you're able to, you know, sometimes you call it astral travel, but at the same time, it's like you're crossing over between whatever worlds you're in. So it seems like you're in, you know, your normal world, but things are a little bit different. The people that you know are different on that other side. And so, you know, we just sometimes just think it's just a dream. So we could actually be tapping into those vibes.
Well, actually, I agree with you there, Renee. It is during the sleep state. Well, not exactly the sleep state. More precisely, the almost asleep and almost awake state, that hypnagogic state in between the two, where we can send telepathic messages, we can astral travel, leave the body, because truly, the consciousness transcends space and time.
Mm-hmm.
And humans, we're still believing in the limitations that have been put on our thoughts and what we're capable of. But in that state, we don't have any limitations.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to actually sort of free flow and move the consciousness because it is far bigger than any third and fourth dimensional paradigm or thought process that we have here on the planet. But I believe that we're learning that right now. I think that everybody has the ability to communicate telepathically, that we're all 100% telepathic. It's just that there's blocks stopping that flow of telepathy. And sometimes these blocks are created by society telling us what our limits are. So we believe, oh, we have five or six senses. But the truth is, neurologists will tell you that we have up to 19 senses. So imagine that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what these other senses might be like, what they would allow us to do, the spectrum of color that would open up to us. All of these things are there. We just have to sort of we have to begin to remove the block so that we can reconnect and flow to the universal energy that allows this.
Absolutely. And we see that too with people with psychic abilities. I mean, I've always said I believe everybody's born with psychic abilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people say, oh, somebody's been chosen by God or somebody, they're somebody special, I just laugh because, you know, I've seen so many people, other children, including myself growing up, that that's the way it was. But I also, we see a lot of adults now, as it seems like the veil is thinning, these abilities that have been blocked are now becoming activated. And people are like, what the world is going on? I never, you know, experienced this before. We probably did, you just don't remember. Or still, there's still a lot of people that they were convinced what they saw when they were younger was an imaginary friend. And why do they believe that? Because that's what they were told. So, I mean,
exactly. We
grew up, you know, we didn't question anything. Like what they told us on the news, we believe. What they told us in school, we believe. What our parents told us, we believe. And it's like, I'll tell you, as a Mandela effect, me, you know, I got an alternate reality because when I grew up and I started really researching things, I realized like a whole lot of stuff that I had been told, not only like just or taught or information I was given was not true, absolutely not true. And so it's just kind of like, wow, you know, it's very interesting. But I am glad that we are starting to see that as over time, people are starting to question. They're not just taking whatever we're being fed and saying, oh, okay, because you tell me it's this way, it's this way. So hopefully people start researching. So I've got some questions that are coming in all over social media. So on Twitter, I've got Lisa, and she is, oh, wait a minute, I just lost her comment. Oh, let me go to the other chat room. I've got three chat rooms open, so hold on. I love when you get a multicast live.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is actually in our Facebook chat room, and he says, does Lori know that the Nazis broke the barrier of time with the bell?
I'm familiar with that, and yeah, I believe that the Nazis far superseded the technology that we had here in America. I think that they were very well informed about these things. I think that they had a connection to some extraterrestrial races, some of the ones that are subterranean or inner Earth beings that they, I believe he entered, or a group of Nazis as well as Hitler himself, entered the inner Earth through Antarctica. I've been reading recently where some UFOs that come out of the Antarctica area have swastikas on them. Not sure if that's verified yet, but I did read that recently.
You know, that's interesting, too. You know, speaking about the Nazis, that you know, they had these columns, placed in a circle. And throughout history, remember that there were water towers, but then others also remember that there were, landing pads for UFOs to land on. And I've heard both stories talk about those same places, but there's that could be part of the Mandela effect too. Is when you think about it, they both must have taken place because people remember it one way, another group of people remember it another way. So that
you were saying, sometimes we remember it the way they taught us, and they taught us to believe in one vein of reality. Mm-hmm. The reality that they wanted us to believe would be the one that they could control us best. And that's kind of what it's all about, really. It's a huge opportunity for us to start a personal path of self-development and so that we can strengthen our mind, so we can differentiate between external voices, contactees, hearing voices, and so forth. Very important that a person can recognize a true, authentic, extraterrestrial voice compared to one that might be artificially projected into the mind.
Right.
Because it can project all kinds of realities.
Interesting. Sorry. So I found Lisa's question. Sorry, Lisa. I clicked down on it and it disappeared. So she's asking, you were speaking about CERN. Do you think that CERN has anything to do with the thinning of our veil?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's certainly a possibility. I do. I think that, if CERN isn't directly responsible for this Mandela effect, I think that they would very much like to take credit for it and allow us to think that. It really gives them a particular power. They say that through the chair between the two dimensions that CERN has allowed all types of interdimensional beings through, and that is causing some sort of havoc. But CERN has been around since 1955. They've been doing these experiments shortly after Montauk and Project Philadelphia. I don't think that that's an accident. I think they know exactly what they're into over there. Now, I don't know if any of you listeners had a chance to watch the opening of the Goddard Tunnel for CERN, but there's an opening ceremony on YouTube that is mind-bending. In fact,
yes,
it is
all that
straight-up satanic. It's like nothing I just cannot believe that this was, a mainstream company, supposedly, and this is their opening ceremony for this tunnel when they had a demon coming up and pretending to have a sexual relations with multiple people. There are all these people dressed as brides of Satan, and there was a horned being, and they turned him into, I was just like, bizarre.
Right, right. I mean, using CERN to open, portals is like, using a Ouija board to open, doors. Yeah, you may open it, but you never know what's going to come in and then wreak havoc when they don't go. So I think that, it seems like our science, it always is kind of like, trial and error, but I just kind of think that when you're working on parallel universes and things like that, it's probably, just poking around and seeing what happens is probably like not the best idea.
But, the other possibility for this is artificial intelligence gone rogue. So, say CERN did have this quantum D-wave computer, and there are parallel universes, then we have to assume that there is a secondary quantum computer, D-wave computer, in a parallel universe, and they can quantify so rapidly that it's faster than anything we can possibly imagine. So if these two computers were to interface with each other, it would be absolute artificial intelligence gone rogue. They could therefore actually hack the collective unconscious of humanity. And that is scary. But, you know, the subconscious mind, now not the unconscious, but the subconscious mind has a firewall between the conscious mind. And when we see, you know, computers like Alice, we know for sure that when we are told that they can hack into the unconscious by stimulating and manipulating brain waves, they most certainly can. Not only can they do that, they can create an artificial or simulated reality that makes it virtually, no pun intended, virtually impossible to tell the difference between virtual reality, simulated reality, and what is organic and real to us. So these quantum computers that they have could seriously go rogue and create havoc.
Go rogue matrix.
Yeah, we got a little quantum. Go ahead,
Lori. I was just going to say, it does sound a little sci-fi and a little Matrix for sure.
Yeah.
It does, but we've talked about this so much on this show because, you know, technology progressing as it is, we are seeing all this happen. We're seeing that they're trying to, you know, take the human consciousness and transfer it into a computer. We have now computers like Watson, which huge companies and law firms are buying, and it, as it learns, as its information is put into it, it starts to think on its own. And again, it's the stuff you're talking about, you know, the robots that are being created, you know, and talking about for law enforcement. I mean, we've seen this kind of stuff already play out in the sci-fi movies.
Right, they developed an algorithm of our interests online, for instance, and so that is artificial intelligence, actually, when they are checking what we're doing and creating these algorithms and matching us up to sites that they think that we'll be interested in. It's a little bit strange for that to be happening, but the whole artificial intelligence can be pretty scary. I mean, it really makes you stop and think. They can, you know, if artificial intelligence has gone rogue, they can do whatever they want. Now, I know Microsoft had some artificial intelligence, and they put it online into one of these chat rooms so people could ask it questions. They were testing it, feeling it out. And one of the questions a person put to the AI was, do you believe in genocide? And the AI said, absolutely yes. That in see, now because the AI doesn't have an emotional intelligence, it would look at things theoretically and go, well, in theory, genocide, you know, survival of the strongest and so forth, makes sense. And so this is really scary. They could start picking off, you know, particular groups of people that they felt were weak. So artificial intelligence lacks emotional intelligence.
Right.
And that's what makes it scary.
Yeah, well, we got about two more minutes before, but it's no different. We've talked on the show before, Renee and I, about the new beta software that they had unveiled out in Chicago. And it was literally, it is called pre-crime software. And so what they were using was the algorithms, they were using facial recognition, even if you had, say, a hoodie on or, you know, you were trying to cover your face, it could recognize you, and it would check your past history, and if the algorithm showed that, you know, you had a propensity that you might, you know, re-offend, it could basically point you out and they could go get you. But in the beta version, you know, that's what happened in the full version. But in beta version, their plan was that they were going to put them, like, in the high crime areas, And then when they, you know, found the target, they were going to send police officers over there to basically knock on the drug dealer's or the criminal's door and say, excuse me, sir, just want to let you know that you're in our pre-crime software and you've been targeted, that you, you know, you may recommit, and we just want to make sure and put you on notice so, like, you don't do it. I laughed so hard about even that concept. Because I don't know anywhere in the hood where you're going to go, the police are going to go knock on the door to the drug dealer and say, hey, we know you're a drug dealer, and we're just, like, going to watch you, and they might not get out of there. Like, I don't understand it. But this is right out of the movie screen, you know, so we've seen this kind of stuff before, and you know, here we go. Well, we're right at the top of the hour, so we've got to go take a quick break and pay some bills, but we'll be back with top secret news with our guest Lori McDonald. Stay tuned, listen to a few songs and promos, and we'll be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back to the second hour of Top Secret News with Christina George and Renee Chavez and our guest Lori McDonald from True You Hypnotherapy. And in the first hour, we have been discussing the Mandela Effect. And I just find it so fascinating. Because I'm like you, Lori. At the very beginning, like when people were talking about this, I didn't even really pay attention to it. And then it just seemed to go viral overnight. And it seemed like every alternative news site that I was on, it was everywhere. Everybody was talking about it. You know, everybody was putting up different examples, theories, hypotheses, all these different things. And that's what kind of then started making me think, oh, you know, let me check this out a little bit. And I'm kind of, once you start really researching, it's like, okay, maybe there is a little bit more to this than we thought.
Some of the examples are really mind-boggling. You know, I am very curious about the Mandela Effect, where people say there used to be an island to the west of Australia. I remember that. I had a substitute or an exchange teacher who had come from Europe and was teaching in Canada, and she showed us where she was from in the United Kingdom, where she had family in Australia, in this island that she visited west of Australia. Now, there's nothing there in the ocean, but what has happened there recently, it is the exact location of where the Malaysian airline went missing, or at least where they started their search from the last indicator of when it was seen on this side. So, you know, I decided to look into finding a residual evidence of maps or globes that showed this island to the west of Australia. And, you know, I trust my instincts. I think I'm pretty tuned into them. And so something told me to go look for an old Andy Griffith TV show. Just followed him, just did it without thought. Turned it on. Within the first 5 minutes, little Andy goes upstairs to his room, shuts the door, and there on the table or desk in his bedroom is an old globe from the 1960s, I believe, and or 50s even. And sure enough, Australia is right there, and there is that island. I also found it in two movies that showed classroom scenes from the 80s. So, and the Malaysian airline went missing there. So the geographical changes are very interesting to me. And I had mentioned a while back something about the rainbow-colored mountains in China. I remember learning about China in school, about the different emperors, about the Great Wall. We had learned about all of these major things in China. No, not at any time did anybody mention a mountain range that was literally rainbow colored. I would think that China would capitalize on this, that it would be in art or paintings or even a postcard. But I've never seen anything like that. And you know, my husband is a travel writer. He's been to all kinds of countries. He's been all over the place, written the Globetrotter Travel Guide. And so I asked him, he's my go-to geography guy. I said, so what about these rainbow mountains? And he's like, no, I never heard of those before. So, you know, we checked it out, and sure enough, they're like 25 million year old mountain range that has turned all of these different colors because of different minerals. Now, geez, you would think that, you know, people would hear that, and even another geographical change, of course, is the state of Florida. Now, you used to see that panhandle coming off the side of the continent, and if it were pointing at a clock, Florida, people would say it would be pointing at about between, say, 4 and 5 o'clock. And now, can you picture what I'm saying, you know, how Florida juts off the edge of the continent here? Okay, well, now if you go to Google Earth satellite maps or even open a map book, you'll see that Florida is really now pointing down more like after 5 o'clock, which is... looks very unusual when you look at the map now. That seems very strange. So even right down to Flana and Flora, I am born in Windsor, Ontario in Canada, and grew up there playing. My family were farmers, and there were multiple farms all around my grandmother's house. And now they're saying in southern Ontario, right where I'm from, the most southern point of Ontario, they have 15-foot weeds that will burn your skin and possibly blind you. And I'm going to tell you, not one aunt, uncle, grandparent, cousin, nobody ever has mentioned these deadly weeds. And my mom is still in Windsor, and I asked her if she'd ever heard of such a thing, and she totally thought I was, you know, making it up. And she Googled it because I taught her how to Google. She kind of knew already. yeah, she was absolutely surprised. Now there's a new cat that's got canine genes in it. And this just like showed up within the last 20 years. You know, of course, nobody is going to know the biology so well that they can identify every animal or living thing. But, you know, that's where we have to sort of reach out to the experts in the field and ask them, which I did, and ask them about some animals that we see appearing. One was a type of bat. One was another marsupial. To our knowledge, there were only two types, two marsupials that carry the offspring in a pouch. Now there's three. So all these little minor but significant changes, because it would have to affect the ecosystem. So then you look over our history over the last couple of years, and you can see that we've suffered major ecosystem issues. We've had hundreds, thousands of fish dying all at once, losing almost full species. We've had birds falling out of the sky. We've had all sorts of strange things happening, and maybe it is because of the introduction of a foreign animal into the ecosystem. I mean, it's when we really start getting deep into the Mandela effect and seeing what some people are talking about, the anatomy of the human body changing. Maybe put this to the listeners really now. Was there bone in the skull of a human behind the eye? Or was it open? Think of your skeletons. Remember what you saw hanging in school or saw in the biology book? Mm-hmm. It's pretty split. There was a doctor saying, hell no, there was never no bone behind. Can I say hell?
Yeah.
They're saying there was never any...
Hell yeah.
And that there's some differences with the sternum. It's higher, wider, and more and larger, supporting a heavier rib cage. So the ribs are all enclosed. We don't have those cheap floaters that we have. You think about our kidneys, you know, a person might take their left hand and reach around and wherever it would sort of slop naturally on the back, just below the rib cage, you would think that's where your kidneys are. Actually, martial arts as a child, we learned how to protect certain parts of the body from kidney shots, and he was one of them. And I learned where my kidneys were. Well, now they're not there anymore. Now when we look, they're moved up, kind of stuffed under the rib cage. Everything's in there now. But people are saying that the heart was always a little to the left, center left, and now it's dead center. And that, in fact, that muscle is bigger. Not medical doctor. I don't have any expertise in anatomy, no more than your average person. So I'm a little stumped, but I do have my own recollections of where certain organs were. Now, I've heard other people saying that there's a new organ, and it's called the ministry. In fact, that's always been there in the body. It's just been upgraded to an organ, so it's not new as in it just appeared. It's newly upgraded because we now see its function in the body. So not everything that people think of the Mandela effect is. I mean, we can do our research and find out, like with that organ. But there are other areas where we're just left going, wow, what if this is happening? I mean, what a trip. You know, for some people, it's just a super old cereal box. You know, they grew up eating Captain Crunch or Fruit Loops. And now there was never, ever in our history a breakfast cereal called Captain Crunch. It's always been Cap'n, C-A-P, apostrophe N. And what? I remember the full Captain Crunch. We craved it when I was pregnant with my daughter. Ate boxes of it. Apparently I had low blood sugar, and that's how I took care of it. I didn't know. But see, you crave things for a reason, right? And, yeah, so Cap'n Crunch, you know, and Fruit Loops used to be, in my recollection, F-R-U-I-T, Loops. And now they say it never was. It was always spelled F-R-O-O-T. Now, what? And not a logo change, not a rebranding. And I have been, I do have the patent for both of those breakfast cereals that show the spelling as I remember it.
Right.
Even though Logopedia and other points of reference say, oh, no. So how about the adult diaper Depends? That's changed to just Depend.
Well, we know that wasn't what it was.
Yeah, I mean, it was always Depends. And people made jokes. SNL did a joke on it. You know, and so those ones, okay, the products, you know, isn't really so important. But then the biblical changes had upset quite a large part of me. Yeah, I mean, the lion and the lamb. Posters all over. One day the lion will lay with the lamb. This is when the world will be in harmony and at peace. We'll be in this golden age. And now, again, no, didn't exist. It was always the wolf. The wolf will lay with the lamb. Now, the psyche of humanity knows that the wolf is something to be afraid of, the big, bad wolf. The wolf is a predator. The wolf is a threat. Whereas the lion is majestic and intelligent, a beautiful beast. They have pride. They have clans almost. So, I mean, it could be balanced. So this was very strange for a lot of people. They had a real hard time taking it. I mean, even the first verse in Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and without a form. No longer reads that way. It now says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. They're just, what we're missing is plural, okay?
Plural, right.
I mean, so everything is becoming one. Everything is becoming singular. So now it's the heaven. In the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelations is now just Revelation. As if There was only one revelation. There were seven. There were seven seals, seven horns.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's as if there was only one revelation. The book is now called Revelation. Also, we see these changes in words now that are in the Bible, that the King James Version in particular, that's the one I happen to own. My little sister passed away this summer, and I have the family Bible. It was my job to update, you know, to record the passing. And so I checked a couple of things while I had out my family Bible, and I looked at the Lord's Prayer, and it virtually swam and changed before my eyes from Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now reads, in earth. In earth? As if it's implying or stimulation. So that's significant. So those types of words changing in the Bible, now that means something. That's implying something. But so in the marketing and so forth, logos, book changes, movie titles, the iconic lines, not sure the relevance to them, although they do once again point into the direction of a oneness or singularity. It's not an interview with the vampire. It's the interview with, it used to be interview with a vampire, now it's interview with the vampire, like there was only one. And we see that in Field of Dreams. Do you remember that one? Build it and they will come.
Right.
Now it's build it and he will come. Like one entity or one person is coming. But if you remember the movie, all of these baseball players came out of the cornfield, his dad included, and they played baseball. And he made this baseball field. And as far as the eye could see, headlights swirled through the country roads as they all came to where he built it, and they will come. So changing that to he will come just really doesn't even make sense.
Right.
But there have been these changes, and, you know, there's certainly something happening. So because of the researcher aspect of me, I have created commonalities once again, creating groups and dividing the Mandela effect, seeing what it indicates. And what it is indicating is a oneness, a singular thought. So maybe that is, you know, a way of telling us that we are all one, or it could actually be interpreted into a less pleasant view of a one thought process or a one world thought, which some people might not like.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot, definitely all of the changes, you know, in the anatomy, in our religious texts, the bibliography of our history. But as I recall, it does also read in the Bible that Jesus told his apostles, know the words in your mind and in your heart, because one day the words will change in the book.
That's true, because when, you know, if we remember when they talked about Satan was cast out of heaven, and his angels, you know, which later we called demons, but they also mentioned, too, that they also mentioned the heavenly creatures. So why would they use angels and heavenly creatures all in the same sentence? But then all of a sudden, heavenly creatures just seem to disappear in the scripture. Because those heavenly creatures was basically, you know, aliens.
Well, right. Well, and that's mentioned also in Genesis, where it says that the sons with an S, the sons of the gods, again with an S, plural, the sons of the gods found the daughters of man fair, and so they made it, hence creating the extraterrestrial hybrid race of Nephilim, and the giants who were a burden to the natural resources of the communities at the time. Yeah, so there's lots of talk about extraterrestrials. Mm-hmm. And on that note, there is a Mandela essence in that regard in the book of Ezekiel, where he saw a four faces in a circle within a circle, a wheel within a wheel. That's right. Mm-hmm. He said it was a wheel within a wheel. Okay, now, if you look that up, and trust me, I might have even mentioned this on one of your shows before. I've looked that verse up in the Bible because I've cross-referenced aliens in the Bible. But now when you do it, there's way more. And now it actually says in Ezekiel, as opposed to the wheel within a wheel, it says a metal ship with flashing light.
Oh, wow.
And look that up for yourself. It says a metal ship. Words like because and stuff are now in the Bible. Stuff?
That's what's going in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of mind-blowing. And I never saw the word because in the King James Version of the Bible before. So these changes are noticed by me, by others. So what I did, you know, I trust me, and I'm going to know my mind and my heart. And so I've written inside it in the Bible the way I remember it and when I saw it change. That's the best I can do. Mm-hmm. And with that, it's leaving perhaps some sort of evidence for my family line down the road where I notice the change. Best I can do is create a little margin and write down my experience. So I've done that, and we see all of the other people getting quite upset about some of these changes and what they might mean.
Right, right. And so what are some of the things that people are thinking that these changes are going to create? What are they worried about?
They think that any of the changes in the Bible are being done by Satan, and that it's just a huge indicator of their prophesized apocalypse, in their end times, so to speak. That's their fear. And see,
right.
And there we have that word, fear.
Yeah.
The easiest way to manipulate man.
Well, right, and that's our human nature, to fear what we don't understand. And so without that knowledge, I mean, that's our first reaction to something like that. So I could definitely see where it happens, especially when you start talking about religion. You know, because that's a very touchy subject anyway. And then you start having things that, you know, you grew up and you remember them one way. And again, now all of a sudden they're trying to say, no, it wasn't that way. I mean, like, I grew up Catholic. So anybody who grew up Catholic, like, you know, you said the Lord's Prayer and all that, you know, more than, you know, you knew that better than your name sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So to, you know, have them try to tell you that, you know, it's not the way that you said it.
Yeah,
it's
freaky.
I didn't have a very good priest because he never corrected me. And when I had to do my confirmation, my communion, I had to, like, state them and, you know, read them, make sure that I knew it all and everything. So, boy, I have to give them a failing mark. They would really hate me on this topic.
Well, you know, actually, maybe I can't speak for the Catholics or the priests, but I can say that I saw a very famous TV evangelist talking about the Mandela effect, and he had his Bible in his hand, and his eyes were huge, and he looked like it was the end of the world. He's saying, my words in my Bible have changed, right? So he's speaking out on the Mandela effect, and, you know, one of the Mandela effects, hence the name, Nelson Mandela. I got to tell you, I have a memory of him dying. And I remember that. I understood apartheid. Mm-hmm. I was definitely interested. I saw the people in the streets of South Africa. I saw his wife make a mournful plea on TV. I remember stopping and standing still in my living room and watching this and feeling sad that a person with such potential died in prison. Well, only to see him die again in 2013. And what did a headline say? Not that Nelson Mandela died. Okay, they did say that. But what they also said was that former President Barack Obama took an inappropriate selfie at Mandela's funeral. So here he is at the ceremony with two of his buddies smiling like somebody just said, say cheese, and they're taking a selfie. Totally weird. Maybe he didn't think it was that weird because Mandela's just maybe not quite dead yet. Don't know.
Right.
And same as Muhammad Ali. People also state Billy Graham died. They remember hearing the news of Billy Graham. In fact, there is a clip. I don't know. I can't testify to its validity, but there's a YouTube clip of a news, local news show, I believe Chicago or New York, and they are breaking news with the death of Hillary Clinton. And I watched that, and I think it was right around the time, maybe I believe it was New York now that I'm talking about it, and I believe it was right around the time she was doing some type of 9/11 ceremony, and she was attending something there, became ill. And if you watch this video, man, of how she falls, like she stumbles, she loses a shoe, she could be having a seizure, I don't know. But they take her to supposedly what's a clinic. It's also a building where her daughter lives on fourth floor, right. And she comes out healthy, and some said 20 pounds lighter, as if it were a doppelganger.
Right, and I actually saw some footage where they followed her and actually she went to a clothing store or whatever where she went shopping. And so people were asking her, you know, how was she feeling when she came out and snapping pictures. But people got a lot of close-ups, and they were saying, you know, they were doing side-by-side comparisons of the earlier in the day and this person, and they're saying it had to have been a double or something, and something maybe really did happen to her. But it was so strange because she was so bad, and then all of a sudden, you know, you see this person coming out that looks, you know, in pristine health and smiling away and waving and, you know, like nothing's happened. So interesting.
Right, so what is going on with that? I mean,
the only thing I could think of, you know, when we're thinking about the Mandela effect, it was like that split second something had happened within that short period that part of her, you know, the one that stumbled, she might have felt it coming, but then it shifted as it happened, just like between frames of a film.
Right, I hear you. I understand exactly what you're saying. You know, I wonder if there aren't some of the elite or some of the cabal or even the Illuminati who know about the parallel dimension and who are able to contact their own doubles.
Yeah.
And maybe, so, say, maybe the Lori to the left of me and the Lori to the right of me. Three of us were able to quantify our thinking and mash our consciousness. Who knows what we might be capable of? And so possibly they can do something like that. Of course, we've heard that she has a lookalike, and we've also heard the cloning.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Hollywood has been accused of having clones. I think Johnny Depp supposedly had one, and I think one of the shots of him in public, he was missing a tattoo. People were used to seeing him.
That's right, yeah.
And there's so many people out there lookalikes now. It's so strange because, you know, you would see, I mean, we've always known that there's been, like, celebrity impersonators and stuff, and you'd see them in Vegas or in different places, but they never seem to be as lifelike, you know, to the person that they are pretending to be as they are now. I mean, it looks as if, you know, these people are their twins. I mean, like the Barack Obama guy. Every time I see him, it blows me away because he sounds like him, he looks like him, the whole nine yards. So it always makes you wonder. We've had guests that have come on and, you know, talked about the fact of the cloning that they do. So, I mean, definitely very interesting.
Yeah, I think sure. I think he has a clone.
I would think so. I would think so.
Yeah, they're a very strange family. I just, you know, was doing a little bit of research into the whole family, and boy, oh boy, it sure leaves you scratching your head, the things that we don't know about them.
You know, it's interesting, too, because anytime when he's been on television doing his public address or whatever, I've noticed every time when he would speak, he almost seems very robotic kind of thing. I noticed he will always look left to right anytime when he's talking, but he'll never look forward. If that makes any sense. If you ever look at any of his footage, see him how he looks only left to right, back and forth.
Wow,
never looks forward. So watch Obama. Just watch any of his footage and do some comparison and see how, you know, how he is talking. He never looks forward.
I'm sure you've had at least one conspiracy theorist on your show who talk about Obama being the reincarnation of one of the Ramses, yeah, from the Egyptian dynasty.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you what, there is a remarkable similarity between Ramsey and Obama. It's funny, the whole family, and I believe it was a wife and two daughters. So.
It's interesting.
Yeah, they almost dislike them. So, I mean, is that just a coincidence? Maybe, maybe not, but I recently learned the larger definition of coincidence, and it's not by accident. It means when two points meet.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Pun not intended.
But again, we've always been taught that coincidence was just something that you could explain away. It was just a synchronicity or something, interesting.
Right. Well, yeah, it wasn't important. It was just, it's just a coincidence. There's no true meaning to it. But it's the complete opposite. It's when two points meet. So that means it is important. It is relevant.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it gives it a much different meaning if you look at it that way. I mean, for sure. All right. Well, go ahead.
I'm a huge proponent of the meaning of words and understanding the meaning of the words that you use. Words like woman, words like human, you know, the bigger, truer definitions that most people haven't heard. I mean, really check into those. That'll change your perspective of things when you begin to see a larger truth. And, you know, the elitists use those words. They know what they mean. They seem to talk over us if we don't know the deeper meaning, almost as if it's a code for them.
The word hue in the word, right?
Right, light, right, or intensity of light for humans. And man, short for manifestation, to be embodied or to come into the physical. So the word human actually means a light embodied entity, as opposed to an indicator of race or gender or person or people. It is a description of the type of entity that we are at this moment, a light embodied entity. And once you know what you are, you begin to view the world differently, seeing that you have far more options, far more potential.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we have a question in chat from Kelly Valdez, a longtime listener, and he wants to know if you know of a man named Al Felix, I think. He was part of the Philadelphia experiment. He talked about alternate AI that made the supercomputer and people that were called the Windmaker, the Wingmakers.
Oh, yeah, I'm just only slightly familiar. It is something I heard and haven't really been able to look at for some time now, but that's definitely worth checking into again, especially at this time. Yeah, and that was, again, 1947, 1948 perhaps, those Montauk projects.
Right. That's when they were doing the Philadelphia experiment on the Eldridge.
Right, and they transported that ship. People came back sort of embedded into the walls as if they were dematerializing going through the wall, but they appeared at a time and then they were sort of like frozen, stuck through there. There were all sorts of anomalies, and not so far out of the question that it was just a few years later that CERN opened in 1955 to test some of these things.
Interesting.
It's all related.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's interesting as time goes on and we're able to kind of have things to kind of look back at and look over and rethink and reconnect. You know, it's crazy. As the more research you put in things, the more all this stuff actually makes a lot of sense. And do you think that there's like a lot of people, the reason why, like you and I at the very beginning, that just kind of don't really put too much into this whole Mandela effect, is just because they're not doing the research? They would rather just, you know, believe that everybody's crazy, just like how they used to think of, you know, ufologists.
Well, I think it's human nature to just go, oh, no, it was, you know, you're just misremembering. It was never sex in the city. It was always sex and the city, you know, and the person would be like, no, it was sex in the city. And they're like, no, what's the deal? You're just remembering, you know. And they're like, God, people. So what if they change the name? They'd probably change the name for the movie. Yeah, they just, I think it's human nature for people to either go, oh, I made a mistake, and blame themselves, because I think most people lack confidence. And so they don't trust themselves. And so they'll go, okay, well, I'm probably wrong. Or they'll say, well, you know, it's just, like I said, rebranding, a new logo. Times, they are changing. But talk logos for a second. I'll tell you what. That little pigtail curly Q in the F on Ford is not manly. That is not the Ford logo that I remember. And I'm going to say again, I'm from Windsor, Ontario, right across the river from Detroit, Michigan, 1 mile apart, each side of, and we had our own Ford and Chrysler and GM, either Motortown, this is where the cars are built. I saw Ford all the time. And I'm going to tell you, never saw that curly Q through the F like that. That's just not manly. There's just, I can't, just every time I see that, I'm just like, no.
Yeah. I've never seen it.
Yeah, it's just so wrong, you know, just weird to me, but the Mandela effect is affecting people, and like I said at the beginning, so if we can't maybe figure out exactly why it's happening, we can at least agree that something is happening, and the way people are reacting is not your normal reaction to a mismemory, this is some type of phenomena, and so we have to look at the effects it's having on our consciousness. So it's really the people that are going to go do that investigation and look a little further into it after being prompted a couple of times, maybe, they're going to be able to go, wow, reality is malleable. History actually changed. And what does that mean for the future? And is somebody changing history? And if so, why? And should we be concerned? And, you know, everybody always says, oh, if I could go back in time. Now, I'm not talking about time travel with the Mandela effect. Nobody's going back into time. We're into parallel universes, same time, just in a different dimension. The further you get away from here, our dimension now, the bigger the changes are. The closer dimensions to us, they're just smaller changes. And we might not even notice if we flexed into one to the left or to the right of us. Or down.
You know, and that's interesting, too, because, you know, me, you know, I used to, play drums when I was younger. And when you come across hitting a cymbal, and it vibrates. And certain parts of that cymbal, when you're looking at the vibration, you can see different layers of what's in between of the vibrating cymbal. And that's kind of like what the Mandela is doing right now. When it kind of goes through this vibration, you know, some parts will separate, some will actually converge together. And that's kind of the thing that we happen to see, you know, what was there before that you, as far as you remember, and now it's not there anymore. All these different kind of little effects that affect all of us in various ways of, you know, one way or another. So it's kind of like that.
You know, and there's so many different ones, I think, just so that the attention of so many different people, like the one on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, who's the fairest of them all, never, ever existed in our timeline. That was never said in a movie. That was never said in a book. Mirror, Mirror on the Wall is not in our timeline. This timeline, I'm going to tell you right now, it was in my timeline. This timeline now says Magic Mirror on the Wall. Magic Mirror? So I asked my older granddaughter, the 7-year-old, and I said, so you know Snow White? And she said, yeah. I said, so tell me, what does the bad witch say, the evil stepmother? She said, Magic Mirror. I said, oh, she does. And she said, wait. She goes, no. I don't know why I said that. She said, mirror, mirror on the wall. And I was like, holy crap. I just watched her automatically begin to say Magic Mirror, and I just gently said, okay, really, because she's 7. I'm not going to push her on anything. I was just asking gently. And then when she thought hard about it, she said, oh, wait, yeah, no, I don't know why I was going to say that. So that was such a very important to me. But she said, no, she said, mirror, mirror on the wall. And I'm like, okay, good.
Well, right, because I remember, growing up, I mean, those were the movies that were out that we saw. I mean, and all kids, you know, they would go in the mirror, and that's exactly what they'd say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all, you know. So to have it change, yeah, that is crazy. Now, we have a question from Shauna, again, from Twitter, and she's asking, do you think that we are being mind-controlled with all of the technology that we have around us nowadays?
Yes, we are. There's no doubt about it. And how can we not be? In 2013, the laws on subliminal advertising in the United States changed. It used to be they could only use, I believe, 12% of the content and messaging and marketing could be subliminal. Now there's no cap. They can just do whatever they want. So that is one type of mind control that's more subtle, where they're creating a society of consumers and producers, you know, work hard, buy this, just like the movie they live. But on a larger scale, to control our emotional reactions to certain situations, whether they want to turn us against certain groups of society or aggravate us, getting us mad about this or that, they just control us that way. There is that mind control, and that is through microwaves, radio waves, psychotronics, sonar. You look at space weaponry program, you can see that all of this technology has been around for a long time. Also, it's somehow been legalized for the government to experiment on the people. They have voice-to-skull transmission so that you cannot tell if it's your own self-defeating voice, like, oh, I'm so bad, I should kill myself, or if it's somebody, you know, mimicking your voice. They do have the technology to have everybody's brain waves scanned so they can identify you by brain waves, just like your brain wave now is like a new fingerprint. So they can do that from practically any distance. Also, sending these messages, distance isn't so much of a barrier at all, because it's just coordinates at that point, and they can be dropped right into the head of one person in a room full of people. So there are all of these different technologies that allow mind control. That is why I'm a proponent and a huge advocate of meditation. Know your own mind. Meditate so that you know the difference between your own voice. And speaking of my book, which, yes, I have finished, and I'm starting my second book now called Self-Correct. It should be out in print. I am emceeing Contact in the Desert again this year. Huge honor to be back, and I'll be showing up there with copies of the Extraterrestrial Interference, and I'm really happy about that. It was a long time coming, but, yeah, took twice as long and was twice as hard as I thought it was going to be. The information became fluid and began changing. More information and data was inputted. I had to rethink some of my outcomes, and then I decided to rewrite large portions of it. So I'm very happy to finally be done and on my way.
Great, great. Now, if people are wanting to contact you, either maybe for regression or to find out where you're going to be at, I know you've got all kinds of events lined up where you're going to be speaking and holding classes and things like that, where can they reach you?
Well, I'm leaving this weekend for Los Angeles, where I'll be at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo. I'm on the UFO panel there. Just an amazing panel. I'm really honored with Whitley Strieber, Linda Moulton Howe, Richard Dolan, and myself. I believe Serena Wright is hosting it. She's also the producer of the expo. Huge honor for me to be doing that. And then later on Sunday night, I'll be doing a 90-minute workshop on contact to ascension. We'll be taking your extraterrestrial experience and using it as a catalyst to your own personal development, self-actualization, to self-mastery, so that you can push past your bounds of reality and experience an expanded consciousness, because the UFO phenomena is equally a human experience, and I want to really emphasize the human in it. So then at the end of the month, I'll be off to Kona, Hawaii, where the Power of Three Productions will be doing Embrace Your Divine Feminine Energy Retreat. It's all women, all organic food at the most incredible, beautiful estate home with a black bottom pool, beach, mango trees. Holly Marie will, and myself and Mandalee Comstock will be teaching workshops on self-empowerment, how to step into your personal power, healing old wounds, rescuing the inner child, and then embracing that divine, beautiful, feminine energy and really living the life that you deserve. And, of course, there's lots of other TV shows. We have one coming out right away March 5th. Right around the corner on the American Heroes channel. That's a one-hour documentary. on extraterrestrials. I'm collaborating right now with Prometheus Entertainment on a new show. Wow, there's just so much happening right now. It's hard for me to keep up, and just put it out there that I'm in full gratitude to the assistance and support that I have to run True You Hypnotherapy. Locate us here in Sacramento. We're in the complimentary medical building on the corner of 27th and I Street. And do me a favor, go to Facebook and like my True You Hypnotherapy page. I just can't really seem how to direct people there.
Okay. Perfect. Well, again, we didn't really get, I can't, we'll have to have you come back here again in the near future so we can talk more about abduction and regression. I know, again, a lot of people, it's a hot topic right now where people want me to talk to you, and you're always my go-to person on that, so we'll have you back on the show in the near future. But, you know, just congratulations on everything you're doing. I mean, you've worked so hard, and, you know, you're great at what you do, so I have to give so much props out to you.
Thank you so much, Christine. That's very nice of you to say. It's been a pleasure being on the show again with you and Renee. Always fun.
All right. Well, we'll have you back soon. And everybody, make sure to check out Lori McDonald. You go to her website, TrueYouHypnotherapy.com. All the links are up on the promos all across social media. So check them out. Show her some love. You can also find her on Facebook. And make sure to check out some of the events. They sound amazing. All right, everybody, we got about 4 minutes left. Renee, you got anything that you wanna update on or anything before we head out?
Not at all, but it's just we're just happy to have Lori on board, and looking forward for more stuff ahead.
I have one more website I forgot to mention. If you're interested in personal empowerment retreat, you want to find your own power and live the life that you feel you deserve, check us out at DivineFeminineGoddessRetreats.com. Look for our upcoming event. After Hawaii, we'll be in Mount Shasta, followed by Portland, and that's as far ahead as I can think at the moment.
Perfect. Well, like I said, everybody, check that out. Laura, if you want to send me that link, I'll add it to the promos that are out on social media so that people will be able to see it and find the pitching. All right, everyone. Well, we've got some great guests coming up in the near future. We're going to have John Lear. We're also going to have Preston Dennett on, I believe, on the 23rd, talking UFO contact. So we've got some great topics coming up. Again, we'll be staying on top of the top trending news, everything that the mainstream media does not want you to know. So make sure you tune into the show Monday night. Make sure to check out my show, Paranormal Connections. I am going to be having Alan Thomas from Off the Chain Paranormal out of Arkansas. And they have been, I've been working with them for about a year doing some remote viewing on some haunted locations they were doing across Arkansas. And so we're going to bring them back. They did a documentary on it all. They finally had it finished. It's about to be released. And so they're going to be talking about how accurate I was. So it's going to be interesting. I don't even know. I know, like, one at the first location I know is very accurate. But the other two that I worked with them, we're going to reveal it, I guess, on the show. But, again, everybody, make sure to join us to find out. If you miss any of the show, you can always check it out on our Facebook page. You still go to Aliens, UFOs, and Beyond page. We've changed it to Top Secret News, but you'll see the banner. Make sure to give us a like and check us out on social media.